It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Coming up at the top of the hour, after the news at the top of the hour, top five at five, you're going to meet a guy who is willing to pay $25,000 to find a soulmate, to anybody who can find a soulmate for him. Talk about the paying for people, as we were doing a little bit earlier. That's kind of what that is. Oh, boy. Ah, boy. All right, George Terwilliger is joining us right now. Now, George Terwilliger, that's a name you may recall, former acting attorney general of the United States of America. And thank you so much for being with us, George. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, good to be with you, Ro.
I'm confused. I wanted to bring you in to talk about this because there's been a lot of debate on television, and almost everybody I've talked to today wants to talk to me about the Roger Stone situation, where Roger Stone, there was a 7 to 9 year guidance for his sentencing that was given by the Department of Justice to the judge, and then the president was upset with that, thought that was too long. I talked to a number of other line lawyers at formerly at DOJ who were like, well, that does seem like a long time. But now the attorney general has stepped in and said, well, we're going to look at all of those things. We don't know exactly what the new guidance is going to be, but they're going to reduce the guidance. Is that appropriate? Is that common? What is your take?
Well, I'll take the questions in order. Yes, it's appropriate. In fact, it may even, in some cases, be absolutely necessary. Is it common? No, nor should it be. But the fact that it's uncommon doesn't make it wrong. You know, this whole thing reminded me that when I was serving as Deputy Attorney General, the number two person in the Justice Department, I got in a situation where I did, in fact, overrule a decision by career prosecutors to indict a sitting United States senator. And I did it because I thought that it was wrong to bring the case. And I think one of the things that's problematic about a lot of the commentary that we've all heard over the last 24 hours is that somehow, you know, the political leadership of the Justice Department, that is those who are appointed to those positions, should just sit there and rubber stamp whatever the career folks want to do. I have a great deal of respect for the career people. I was a career person for 10 years myself. But the fact of the matter is that the ultimate responsibility for the decisions the department makes belongs to the leadership, and where the leadership thinks they need to do something different, they should. The unfortunate part of this, of course, is that, you know, it looks like the attorney general was bowing to the wishes of the presidency. That's not what happened, but it looks that way.
Well, I want to ask you about
opponents
that.
Opponents are exploiting that,
right? And I want to ask about that because I think, George, that makes this that much more complicated. Because the president is involved in this directly. It is not as though this is not related to him, right? Because what the reason Roger Stone got indicted in the first place was about him trying to help the president through these actions that he was indicted for. Can you hold on 1 second for me? We'll come right back. I want you to respond to that, because it's the closeness of this relationship is what I think has a lot of people uncomfortable. George Terwilliger is with us. As you just heard, he is a longtime member, 10 years at the Department of Justice, where he was the assistant attorney general of the United States and an acting attorney general for a period of time as well. We'll come right back and get his thoughts on this. But first, Lauren Lapka's got the WGN traffic and weather, most importantly. All right, we're talking with George Terwilliger, who is the former assistant attorney general of the United States and at one point acting attorney general of the United States. We're talking about whether or not it was appropriate for the attorney general of the United States now, William Barr, to step into the Roger Stone sentencing kerfuffle, which we now are firmly aware of. The one thing, and you said it's appropriate because that does, it's not common, but it does happen, right? I don't want to misstate anything, but that's where we started with this conversation, that,
right,
that it is the job. And, you know, you're repeating something that two other former line prosecutors for the Department of Justice, both in one in California and one here in the Northern District of Illinois, said, yeah, they've seen that happen. It's really the job of the attorney general to step in situations like that, or his office, or her office to step in and handle that. The question, though, is wouldn't they have known this? Wouldn't William Barr have known that this memo, especially in a heater case like this, that this memo asking for 7 to 9 years for Roger Stone after he was found guilty within 7 hours by the jury? Again, it was a jury trial. That with it, they would know. Wouldn't he want to know that in the first place? And why wouldn't he have gotten involved earlier?
Well, you know, as I understand it from the public reporting, Roe, the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia was talking to the deputy attorney general's office, my old office, the number two spot in justice, about what the sentencing recommendation would be. And apparently, as a result of that communication, what the department has said was that the deputy attorney general and the attorney general understood that this harsh recommendation of 7 to 9 years for a 70-year-old guy was not going to be the recommendation. So, you know, I think they thought it was being handled appropriately by the U.S. Attorney's Office. The other thing that's important to keep in mind here is, you know, some people are, like Eric Holder, for example, are trying to make this, you know, political versus career. Well, that's not the case, again, based on the public reporting, because there are other career people in the U.S. Attorney's Office who apparently agreed that the 7 to 9 might be too harsh and wanted to back that down a bit. I understand that the prosecutors, the four that were involved, who were heavily invested in the case, two of whom came from the Mueller team, you know, may have had strong feelings about their case, and I admire their dedication. But that doesn't mean that every judgment they made about the case was right, including this one.
What do you think would be an appropriate guideline for these convictions?
I'm not deep enough into the case to see, but I like what the position that the Attorney General told the U.S. Attorney's Office to take, and that is, look, we're not going to recommend this enhancement for a threat that seems dubious and where the alleged victim says, I didn't feel threatened, but we're going to leave it up to the judge and let her decide what is an appropriate sentence. And I think they should. That's a good place to leave it.
Before we went to the break a few minutes ago, we were talking a little bit about the optics of this. The Attorney General does seem like he's being political about this. This is the president tweeting about it to his 70 plus million followers. The issue is that this case really does touch the president, right? This is what Roger Stone is accused of, is lying to Congress and obstruction directly about issues of the 2016 campaign. So,
yeah, you're surely right about that. And, you know, I'll make a couple observations there. Because of that, the easy thing for the attorney general to do would have been to wash his hands of the matter and say, hey, look, the career people made this recommendation. I'm not going to touch it. It's a political hot potato. But he had the courage to step up anyway and do the right thing. Frankly, you know, I think you kind of have to take your presidents as you find them. And the president, with his tweets and his commentary about this case and so forth, isn't helping the matter any, but it is who he is. And the fact that the attorney general undertook this, knowing that, you know, the president may in fact have some things to say about it, which may not be entirely helpful to the overall circumstances, is just another reason to say, look, I think Barr did the right thing for the right reasons.
So if in this world, and again, he has been convicted of these crimes. It's not as though, and again, there was the upward departure for the fact that he had intimidated a witness and threatened to kill a witness. The witness then, as you pointed out, testified that he never took. Yes, Roger had said that, but he didn't believe it. He said it was going to kill him and his dog, and he thought that was just Roger being Roger. So he said he didn't actually feel intimidated. I don't know that you're the attorney here, George Terwilliger. I'm not sure whether that holds water or not. But the reality is he's still convicted of obstruction and of lying and perjury to Congress. So let's say he got sentenced to 2 years, you know, 24 months or 30 months or whatever it happened to be. And the president pardoned him, which is his right to do, as long as it's not for a quid pro quo. Do you believe, George Terwilliger, you were once the Assistant Attorney General of the United States, you were the Acting Attorney General of the United States, Do you think justice would be served in a situation like that?
In a sense, yes, because as the judge in the Scooter Libby case said when his sentence was commuted by President Bush, I did my job and he did his job. I think, you know, the judge in this case will do her job. If the president sees fit to pardon him, which, you know, I'm not sure I'd recommend that, but, it, you know, that's his decision and he has that authority under the Constitution. I mean, there is a good case to be made, I'll tell you, speaking as an attorney who represents clients all the time, that the way Mr. Stone's case was handled with his, you know, pre-dawn arrest, rousted out of bed, his wife incapacitated and so forth, those are pretty heavy-handed tactics in a white-collar case. I'm not excusing at all what he did, and neither is the Justice Department. They're saying he should go to prison. It's just a question of for how long is just.
All right, and the he could be pardoned. Is there one of the things that I think concerns a lot of people, including me, is if the president feels like he can have people do whatever his bidding is, regardless of the law, and then he has the ability to pardon them, what are the restraints here in terms of his behavior? Because at least his stated behavior is, you know, it's a little scary.
Yeah, good question. First of all, I don't think Bill Barr is going to do the president's bidding. I think he'd like to have a good working relationship with the president, but I think people who have known Bill and know him well and watched him up close and personal over the years know he's a person of great integrity, and he's going to do what he thinks is right. And, you know, at the end of the day, if the president orders him to do something that he's uncomfortable with, I'm sure he'd resign. But it's not going to come to that. In terms of, you know, the president pardoning somebody, these are serious offenses. If the president were to ask me, I'd say no, I don't think you should pardon them. Let it take its course, and let the justice system work. But the ultimate check, to answer your question, Roe, on the president is a political one, not a legal one. And, you know, the voters will have their say before we know it.
That's true. That is, and that's well true, and that obviously was the argument during the impeachment trial and all of that. The question really becomes if the voters, there's still a rule of law regardless of what the voters do, though, right? And that's, I think that's really the question is.
Yeah, but I don't see any offense to the rule of law in this circumstance here. You know, the president's bark is louder than his legal bite. What the Justice Department did here was really pretty simple. They just said, look, we don't agree with this calculation under the sentencing guidelines of what our recommendation should be. So we're going to change it to what we think is correct. It's no more or less complicated than that. And you know, at the end of the day, it's up to the judge. This is how the rule of law functions, is right, through the due process of law.
All right. George Terwilliger, now at McGuire Woods, and a big wig there, co-head of the firm's white-collar practice and leads the firm's strategic response and crisis management practice. That's a big deal there, George Terwilliger. But for years in the Justice Department, was at one point the Assistant Attorney General of the United States and then Acting Attorney General of the United States. Thank you for your service to the country, sir. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for saying so, and enjoyed talking with you, Ralph.
Thank you. George Terwilliger, right there. That's a name that you've heard, and you cannot forget when you hear it, because it sounds like it's you know, one of those things that sounds like something has just happened, like a wiffle ball has just been hit hard. It's Terwilliger. All right. Coming up on the other side, a top five. You're going to meet a person who wants to spend $25,000 of his own money to meet his soulmate. We'll find out about that.